Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I really want to give you a big welcome today because our sermon is going to be about, Have I Committed the Unpardonable Sin? What is the unpardonable sin? And so maybe you can call a friend. We get letters on this all the time. And call your friend, say, he's going to talk about the unpardonable sin. Have you committed it? And they say, oh, wow, I'm going to check in and see. I might have some good news for you, so tell them, be sure to listen in. We're looking at the psalmist on Psalm 103, where he writes, Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with ever-loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. O Heavenly Father, how good you are to us. We couldn't take another breath if it wasn't for your goodness and your kindness. And you provide for all of our needs, maybe not all of our wants, but all of our needs. And so we just love you. And I pray in this service, Lord, all eyes will be upon Jesus. Many will come to know him as Savior and open their hearts to the Lord Jesus and to help them, Lord, that we find salvation and find assurance, wonderful assurance in Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us Day by Day. God bless you, Jan.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jan. You just preached us a sermon. Isn't that wonderful? The day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, Jesus is with his people. And that'll last all our life, and it'll last when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And remember this, too. It's only a shadow. There is no such thing as death valley. The sting of death is taken away. It's a shadow, and we're right with the Lord. But you can't walk with him unless you have him in your heart. And you won't never be in your heart. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God until you receive Jesus. And you say, how do you receive Jesus? And you simply ask him into your heart. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. I'm sorry for my sin, and I'll follow you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus, in your own words. And he's there waiting to, I was 10 years old. I remember as plain as day. Well, some of our letters. We have to have some of our letters here. And so let's look at Hutchinson, Kansas. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless each of you who are people who work to put the Christian Worship Hour on TV and shortwave radio. Thank you. It is my hope that you will continue to put this wonderful program on the airwaves. And so God has really blessed us, and we are all over the world. Shortwave radio, 90% of the world is covered with shortwave radio. And it's all because you prayed and you gave and you stood with us. We sure didn't have the money ourselves to do it. So everybody all over the world helps us, and the way we go. Over 40 years. Here's Muncie, Indiana. And this is a man, and he writes, I got saved 4 or 5 years ago while watching your program. Isn't that wonderful? 4 or 5 years ago. And I don't know how he did it. He just maybe was by himself. Maybe sometimes people call on the telephone. We pray over the telephone. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, and he called on the Lord and he saved. And praise God for that. Here's Omaha, Nebraska. Now listen to this, because this is got some figures in it. But it's we have an organization, and they have 5 antennas that circle the globe, goes all over the world. They cover 90% of the world's population. And this is what they write. Researchers estimate that there are 250 million shortwave radios turned on at any given second of every day around the world. Now, I'm reading it, it's hard to comprehend. He says that there are 250 million shortwave radios on at any given second of every day all over the world. Can you imagine it? And we're preaching the gospel over that. Then they go on to say, only 15% of the population in Africa have access to the internet and television, but 85% have access to shortwave radio. Isn't that wonderful? You know what that means? That means we're preaching to the persecuted church. Maybe their husband was just taken, and they're mourning, and we're singing, and we're praising, and we're talking about Jesus and encouraging them. Oh, I am so thankful that we can have television and shortwave radio. Just praise God. Here's Hall, Iowa. I enjoy the new song letter and sometimes read them over and over. And so this is a little paper we put out. It's called the New Song, New Song. And it has a new Bible study every month. And it's free and postpaid. And you say, well, if it's a Bible study, don't we have to subscribe to it and pay for it? No, you don't need to pay a penny. You're right, and we'll send it. But you'll have to help us with gifts along the way, because somebody has to pay for it. Lord knows I can't pay for all of it. And our team are just poor as church mice. Well, I don't know. You can't tell. They might have a big bank account. I don't know about that. But I know this, that God is going to provide for our needs. And this study this week is the 23rd Psalm. It's a beautiful study about the 23rd Psalm. I'll give you the address in just a few minutes, so just hang on. Here's Portland, Oregon. I've backslidden many times, but your words encouraged me when you said that God will always take me back. Thank you for Jesus for that alone. Thank you, Jesus, for that alone. And they signed the prodigal son. Well, you know, you ask how many times will the Lord forgive us? The Lord will give us 1,000 times, 10,000 times, if we really come to the Lord and ask forgiveness. And we go out and say, I'm not going to do this thing again, and we do it. And we wish we could die. And we hate it, and we cry. And we ask Jesus to forgive us, and we go out, and then wouldn't you know it, we fall down again. Never give up. Always trusting Jesus. Just make every effort you can. Lean on Jesus. You have Jesus to help you, and you can overcome that habit or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's holding on too much money or loosen up a little on your giving. I don't know what it is. But you just ask God to help you, and he'll help you. And he'll. But the beautiful thing is he always forgives us and sets us free, and we walk with the Lord and go with the Lord. Then so I'm just so happy that we can always talk about this Savior, because we get so many letters of people say, I'm trying to break this habit. I've done this for so long, and then how do I get away from it? And the best thing you can do is just get close to Jesus and read your Bible and pray and meditate on the Lord and trust in the Savior and lean on him. And then when you are tempted and you want to do sins, and then try not to think about it. See, if you run it in your mind, then you're going to follow through. So if you have those thoughts, now you can't help but have some thoughts that come through your mind, and they just come through so fast. They're not good thoughts, not good thoughts. But so if somebody put it like this, those thoughts that go through your mind are like the birds. You can't keep them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. And what you need to do is when we have those evil thoughts or the bad thoughts, you just go to Jesus and ask him to cleanse your mind. And whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are good and whatsoever things of good report and so on. There's a whole list of them, see. And so then when you have looked to the Lord, and it's just like one man says, it's just like I have two dogs inside of me. And one dog is black and one dog is white. And they're fighting all the time. And then they ask the man, well, which dog wins? And he says, the one I say sick 'em to. See? So we got two natures. We got the new. If you're a Christian, I'm talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian, then you just got the old nature. And that's all. You just got the black dog. You're done. Until you come to Jesus. But when we accept Jesus, we are a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And maybe you're morally good and you don't have any bad things, but you have attitudes and you have, what are you doing to help people? And what is, are you listening to God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you following the Lord? See, so you'll have the good and the bad. And which one wins? The one you think about. The one you talk about, the one you read about. So if you're having trouble, when we get it all the time with some addiction or something, put your things on the things of God. Center on that. And maybe you need some friends, some good friends, and so on. Well, anyway, if you want to have our little Bible study, and our little Bible study is this month is about the 23rd Psalm, then you write to us, and I'm going to give the address. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and then you write to us and say you'd like the new song, or maybe you'd like to send a gift or whatever you are, and if you make a gift, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and so they audit our books, so everything's above board. So whatever you do, just write, and you'll hear from us. So now Jan's going to play a piano solo, and God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. That's just beautiful. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 12, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 12. I know that some of you have. You get dressed up for church. You're at home. You can't get out. You all get dressed up. And then some of them say they just come in their old gowns and sit. So I don't know, just so you don't sit in an easy chair. I never liked an easy chair because I got people sit on these hard oak benches, pews, and they go to sleep. And so if you're in a soft chair, no chance of keeping awake. But they have their Bible and they read with us. So it's Matthew chapter 12, and we start with verse 22. And remember now today we're going to be talking about the unforgivable sin. If you have you committed that sin, the unforgivable sin. So now we read that then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and they said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's the unpardonable sin. And so we'll look at that in a minute. We're going to have a prayer now, and in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church, so we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. So, dear Lord in heaven, we do come to you praying that you'll just that you'll use your word to enlighten hearts. We pray, Lord, first of all, that it'll bring those who don't know you, that they'll bring them to you to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. But we know, Lord, there are people who are shut-ins and are having a hard time of it. There are people on beds of sickness. There are young people, Lord, facing awful temptations. Temptations we never had when I was a child. And children, Lord, that nobody tells them about Jesus. Little children would welcome you into their life, but nobody tells them, and so they don't know, and all, they miss everything. And so, dear Lord, just help us in this service, that the wonderful Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts of every listener. And may multitudes be born again, and may multitudes be helped and blessed and encouraged. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. They're going through hard times, Lord. We read about how it's especially hard in Nigeria. And they don't know which way to turn, and they don't know who to trust. And they live in fear all of the time. And so I know, Lord, we know that you're with them, and just comfort and strengthen them and help them to know that we're praying for them and that we're so proud of them that they stand up against the devil. Dear God, I wonder if we would do that. I wonder if I would do that. I don't know, but I know they do. They are so strong, they will give their life like those dear young men, 5 or 6 of them, in Arabic said, Jesus Christ is Lord, and they were beheaded. Oh, God, I just will be so glad when you come and set things right. And but they're with your presence. The moment they died, they're in your presence. So they're really gained. But oh, the sorrow of the left behind. So this is our prayer, Lord, that you'll help us to love you and serve you, and help us to be wise unto what you're teaching about the unforgivable sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just can't wait to get started on that sermon, but Hank, if I cut him out, I won't make any friends that way. So Hank's going to sing a song, When Jesus Heard My Prayer, and God bless you, faithful Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. That's close to the unpardonable sin. I'll never be the same since Jesus heard my prayer. My whole life has changed since Jesus heard my prayer. There's love in my heart for people everywhere, and it happened when Jesus heard my prayer. Oh, the darkness had to flee
when Jesus heard my prayer.
My soul set free
when Jesus heard my prayer.
My small life began while on my knees there, and it happened
when Jesus heard my prayer.
Because of the blood he shed on the cross, to heaven he's opened the way. If you will believe with all of your heart,
Jesus will hear you today.
I never heard a sound
when Jesus heard my prayer.
I felt angels all around
when Jesus heard my prayer.
He lifted sin's burdens, took away all my cares, and it happened
when Jesus heard my prayer.
Because of the blood he shed on the cross, to heaven he's opened the way. If you will believe with all of your heart,
Jesus will hear you today.
I'll never be the same
since Jesus heard my prayer.
My whole life has changed
since Jesus heard my prayer.
Oh, there's love in my heart for people everywhere, and it happened
when Jesus heard my prayer.
Yes, it happened when Jesus heard my prayer.
Thank you, Hank. Boy, isn't that good news? You can talk to Jesus, but I tell you, if you don't know Jesus, all prayer he's waiting for you to pray is that God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. He wants to come into your heart. And God especially listens to the prayers of Christians because we're born again and we're talking to our Father in heaven. And I noticed in his song, he says that you don't see anything, you don't hear anything, but God answers those prayers. But I want to tell you something, too. You always want to keep this in mind. God doesn't always say yes. He doesn't always say yes. That's why we pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. God can't always say yes. Supposing there's two guys in love with the same woman. What's God going to do there? Cut them in half? Something? So you just have to say, dear Lord, I wish we could do this. I wish I could marry that lady, that beautiful lady. I just wish so much. And the other guy's praying the same thing. And so you both say, dear Lord, we want your will to be done. And maybe neither one of the men will marry her. Maybe they'll both find somebody else. Who knows? See? So what you have to do is always be open, always saying, thy will be done. Make your prayers, but always. And when God says no, don't you get mad. You know, that is so stupid. I can't bless even spell stupid. It's so stupid. Well, let's look at here. We're going to talk about the unpardonable sin. And, we get letters about this all the time. And so Jesus says this, "Wherefore I say unto you," and this is Matthew 12, 31 and 32. If you want to look it up, or you'll have it on hand. "There Jesus says, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. But whosoever speaketh the word shall not be forgiven unto men. But for whoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." That's what we call the unpardonable sin. It's so sinful and so terrible that in this world, there is just no way that sin, God will forgive that sin. Now, the Bible never gives any hope for sin to be forgiven in the next world. So if you're going to get sins forgiven, they have to be in this world. But we're looking at this forgiveness, unforgivable sin. Well, what could it be? It could be a lot of things. And I jotted down some things that I get letters from people, and they think they know what the unpardonable sin is. So I'm going to look at what the unpardonable sin is not, what it is not. And then we're going to look at what is the unpardonable sin. So first of all, I get letters from people, and they say the unpardonable sin is blasphemy. To blaspheme means to speak evil of God, to curse the name of God, taking the Lord's name in vain. A terrible sin. It's appalled on how much we hear profanity and on the television. So if ever all of these people, there are not going to be many in heaven, and you hear all these people taking the Lord's name in vain, they ought to shudder, and God is going to judge them for it. God's commandment is against that. He says in Exodus 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And so we have to be careful when we talk about the Lord, when you address the Lord, whether maybe sometimes it's kind of flippantly, and sometimes it's just lightly, and sometimes it's in a terrible way. But we need to watch out that name of Jesus. Watch out that you watch how you use that name. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it, that they use the name of Jesus when they want to swear. Why don't they use the name of George Washington? Or why don't they use the name of Abraham Lincoln or even Buddha? Why is it in the name of Jesus? I'll tell you why it's in the name of Jesus. Because it is an attack by Satan on the Son of God. And it shows Satan's hatred of the Son of God. So Satan gets all of his followers to use the name of Jesus Christ in vain. And whenever they use that profanity, he or she is speaking for the devil. And your profanity can be forgiven, even though you may have done that. For instance, there was a man named Paul Bunyan, and he was a dreadfully profane man. And he was so profane that when they came to town, walked along the streets, the children, mothers would get their children in the house. They didn't want to hear him speak. He was horribly in taking the name of the Lord in vain, but he was saved. And he wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And it's hundreds of years old, and it's the next best seller to the Bible. John Bunyan, who cursed like a house of fire. Paul the Apostle was a blasphemer by his own admission. He tells us in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, and that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." He put people to death. And he took some people, and he would maybe take this man, and he's a strong Christian man. And Paul had the power, he had the authority, the priest gave him authority. And he could take this man and then have somebody hold the man's little boy. And then Paul would say, "Curse God, or we'll take out his eyes." What would you do? And that's what he did. He says he caused them to blaspheme. They never would have done it. And in the persecuted church, they need to renounce Jesus Christ or die. They have to do. It's a horrible thing. And though Paul was that kind of a terrible man, terrible sinner, look at what he says in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I always tell these people, and they're sorry for their sins, and they're sorry that they're bad-mouthing Jesus. And I always tell them, look at here. He says he's the chief. If God can save the chief of blasphemers, he can save anybody else. No, it is not blasphemy or taking the Lord's name in vain. That's not the unpardonable sin. Or the unpardonable sin, they say, is murder. Sometimes people will say, well, if you take another person's life, then you cannot be saved. And I don't know where they get this, but they don't get it out of the Bible. But they say, if you take somebody's life, then you can't be saved. Well, when you look in the Bible, who in the world is Moses? He killed an Egyptian. He murdered an Egyptian, didn't he? He's one of the leaders in the of God, the whole kingdom of God. Well, God's word, they talk about the prophets. They talk about Moses and the prophets. They set him aside of all the others. Moses, he killed an Egyptian. David killed a giant of a man, and they congratulated him for that, didn't he? But David killed another man. The first man was Goliath. The second man was Uriah. And you know the story. He wanted to marry Uriah's wife. And so he sends him into battle, and he tells his leaders in battle, put Uriah on the front line. And when the fighting gets hot, you men pull back and leave him alone. And that's what they did, and he was killed. And so this man, David, is the same as a murderer because he has the man killed. Or the Saul of Tarsus, he specialized in murder. But no, sin is not murder is not the unpardonable sin, because these men became great Christians, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Well, somebody else comes and says, sin is unbelief. The unpardonable sin is unbelief. And that's a kind of a popular teaching, but it's a false teaching, because they're saying, well, if you die in unbelieving, then you will be lost, and there's no help after your death. After death, the judgment is heaven or hell. And so if you're going to change your status, heaven or hell, you have to do it in this life and not in the next life. It's impossible. And so this person, he's an unbeliever, and he's refused the gospel. And he's heard the preaching of the gospel, and he gets tough. And it's just like water running off a duck's back. And he doesn't pay any attention, and I just let them talk. And so he doesn't believe. And then I have a man one time, he told me, and I was just starting in my ministry, and he says, I want to believe in Jesus, believe me, but God won't give me the faith. And I didn't know what to say. And it didn't sound right. It didn't sound like God would say you have to believe to be saved and not give you faith. And so here it I found in Romans 12, verse 3, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, and you can believe if you want to, Buster. So don't hide behind that, because it won't count. And this great apostle Paul spoke of the wicked life, and mournfully he says, I did it in unbelief. His unbelief, and yet he was saved and brought to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then you come along and you find that they say that rejection of Jesus Christ is the unpardonable sin. Some have rejected Jesus Christ for years. I preach to those who heard the gospel for years. And so far as I know, they never opened their heart to Jesus. They died in their sins. I just pray that in their heart they did call on the name of the Lord, but I didn't know it. And thank God I didn't, because I'm not the judge. See? And so they, I received the Lord Jesus the first time I ever heard the message, because I knew about Jesus, and I knew how he was, and he was kind, and he was loving, and he was good. But I'd never been asked to make a stand for the Lord. And when the evangelist, the Christian Missionary Alliance pastor, came and preached in our little country schoolhouse, and when I heard that message, I went to Jesus right away. There are many of you today who love and serve Jesus, but you didn't come the first time to in that invitation. Maybe you was like in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. "I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in, and I'll fellowship with him and he with me." You can open that door. You have to open that door. And sometimes people, Jesus has knocked at that door for a good long time. And sometimes they become so hardened. And then the sad thing is, they could come to Jesus. If they had 1 ounce of strength, they could come to Jesus. Think of the thief on the cross. He was on the cross because he was a murderer. He was of the worst kind. And the last moment before he went into eternity, he said to Jesus, "Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, I'm going to tell you, that man had great faith. And the reason I know he had great faith is simply this. Jesus Christ was dying. Now, if he's the Son of God and he has a kingdom, how's he going to do that if he's dead? That Jesus is dying on the cross, but this man believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And he believes he's going to be delivered or he's going to be raised from the dead, whatever it is. And he had enough faith to believe in a dying Jesus to say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Today, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise this very day." And that means that the moment you die, you go into the presence of God if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you go into that place of eternal torment and punishment. And oh, we prayed, and the Christian Worship Hour has been working now for over 41 years. And I've been preaching the best way I know how and telling you over and over, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Because listen, there is a time you're going to die, and I've seen plenty of them die being 98. And I'm right at the doors myself. But I've seen many of them go. And I don't know if they made a prayer that last minute or not. But this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 29, verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." God is telling us there's going to be some time you're going to get the last invitation. And if you don't take that last invitation, you're going to be destroyed. That means you're going to be put in a Christless eternity. So I'm begging you, if you've heard the message before and you put him away or you postponed it, that's the devil's trick, get us to postpone it. Don't postpone it. Just ask, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can." Then give your heart to Jesus. And then the unpardonable sin is not the sin against light. Sometimes I have people say, "Well, I know God will never forgive me because, oh, dear Lord, I knew it was wrong when I did it. I committed that sin. I knew plain as day. If I'd have done it in ignorance, I would have been one thing. I knew it was wrong." But this dear Lord Jesus Christ tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I wonder how many times people have sinned against light. I have. And I think there might be many others. You knew it was wrong and you did it. But God will forgive all those sins. You come to him and tell you're sorry. Tell him you'll turn from those sins the best you can. You follow him. Be his follower. Doesn't mean that you live in the pig pen. You ask Jesus to save you and then go back to the pig pen. You have a change, you see. There's a new life. You're a new person. You're a new creation in Christ. But it doesn't matter, light or no light, you can come to Jesus. Well, let's see. There's a couple more. The unpardonable sin is not the failure to respond to the gospel. They said they rejected Jesus. They committed the unpardonable sin. But oh, how many times have people rejected? And we kind of touched on that. And we just need to know that we have to come to Jesus. The unpardonable sin, here's the one I get the most of. Most people think this. They think that the unpardonable sin is suicide. If you commit suicide, you've committed the unpardonable sin. And here's how they reason. They think that this is the line of reading. Murder is a sin. Suicide is murder. So consequently, the suicide commits sin by murdering himself. And because he kills himself, he cannot repent of that sin, and he dies in his sin, and he goes to hell. Now, that's what the devil teaches all the time. He's got a lot of takers. But what does God teach? That's what we're interested in. We're not interested in people's ideas. Everybody and his dog has got an idea. But what does God say? God teaches that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins are paid in full from the minute we accept him until we enter the pearly gates. Let me explain. 1 John 1:7 reads, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And then they say, "Yeah, all of my sins past." No, it doesn't say that. It says all sins past, present, future. And if you sin in the future by suicide, it's all paid in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's paid for before you ever committed it. Well, they say, "I hadn't committed it yet." Well, I hadn't committed any of my sins when Jesus died for me. You hadn't. The Old Testament people, they didn't have any. Jesus hadn't died yet for them. And yet, because they believed God, they didn't know about Jesus. But if they believed God and what God taught them, that was counted to them for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, we have to believe Jesus. We have to have Jesus to be counted for righteousness. But in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't done his work yet, see? So when Jesus died, he paid for all that whole gamut of sins, all past, present, and future. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," in John 19, verse 30, among other things, he meant all of our sins were paid in full, past, present, future. They're all paid. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." God is declaring that the blood of Jesus Christ covers the uttermost of sin as well as to the uttermost of time. It's paid. He hasn't committed his sin. He hasn't committed suicide, but it's paid for. It's under the blood. And he's saved as ever man ever was saved. If he's accepted Jesus, he's on his way to heaven. The writer to the Hebrews makes it so plain that even I can understand it. And you can understand it too, unless you're bullheaded or you're just set in your ways and you're not going to turn no matter what. You made up your mind. Don't bother me with the facts or don't bother me with the scripture. Well, you better listen. And this is what God tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 10. He writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Of the redemption of Christ, that we are sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Do you get that? Once for all. That means from the beginning to the end. Old Testament, New Testament, in the future, all under the blood, all paid for. God tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 14, "For by one offering," write this down if you don't write anything else, Hebrews 10, 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," or those that are saved. And Jesus is telling us, listen to this, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of those sins, past, present, and future. And then none of mine had been committed, but God washed them all away. God saved me from my sins. And so we come to the question then, what is the unpardonable sin? What can we talk about that? Well, God talks about the unpardonable sin. And he tells us of what the pardonable sin is when we take ourselves and when we have, see, Jesus, he's there with them, Jesus is there, and Jesus is healing people. And that people, and the Pharisees, and he's doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Pharisees are there, and they say, he's not doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's doing it by the power of Beelzebub, who was an evil, rotten spirit of Satan. And they attributed the whole work of the Holy Spirit to the rottenness of a Beelzebub. It could put like this. The unpardonable sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit working through the Lord Jesus. Now let me say that again. The unpardonable sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit working through the Lord Jesus. And so they attribute the work of Jesus, which is of the Holy Spirit, attributed to Beelzebub. So now here's my good news to you. That could happen only in the time when Jesus was here in the flesh, and they attributed his works to Beelzebub instead of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you couldn't commit the unpardonable sin if you wanted to. Impossible. That's why I can go out and preach that whosoever will may come. I can say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But if there's one unpardonable sin, then I have to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever, except they, if they haven't committed the unpardonable sin, they can be saved. He says that Jesus tells us to be born again, we receive Jesus, see? And so we want to receive Jesus, but wait a minute. If I can commit the unpardonable sin, I can't say whosoever to anybody. Nobody, because you may have committed the unpardonable sin. You can't commit the unpardonable sin, even if you wanted to. And so what you have to do is come to Jesus, and you have to ask him, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus, and don't make it hard. I think that the devil tries to make it hard. And you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to say the exact words. God doesn't say what words you say, Justin. You're saying the fact that you're a sinner and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins and you promise to follow him. That's what you're doing. And I had a man that I talked to, and he wanted to pray. I talked to him. He didn't know the Lord. And the man had brain surgery, brain cancer. And I talked to him about it. He said, I want to pray for Jesus. I want Jesus. And he prayed that little prayer in his own words. He's sorry for his sins. He asked Jesus to come and take his sins away, and I'll follow you the best I can. And then he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. What do you know? Said goodbye. Well, what does God care what you say? Whoso he wants to hear you right now, make that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. And you can pray it if you want to. You and I know the Lord wants you to. And don't put it off, because that's for the devil. The devil will always say, do it later. He'll never tell you not to accept Jesus. He says, do it later. And too later, later's lost. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. The Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us and say, I've asked that prayer, but I'd like some literature. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send it to you, no matter what it costs us, we'll send it. But the main thing is that you make that prayer. Then get your Bible, start reading your Bible, read the Gospel of John. Find a church where they got a cross on it, where you preach about Jesus, and you can hear about Jesus, and will grow in grace, and then we're going to see you in heaven. And then we have our little book that you know, a little Bible study. And the Bible study for this month is A Never Failing Friend for the September. Is a never failing friend. And guess who that is? Jesus. But it's a wonderful Bible study. And it'll give you strength and it'll give you help if you just read about Jesus. And then there's verses that you can look up, and you have a little Bible study. And we have people that use these for in a Sunday school. We have them in prisons that have prisoners that get together, and they have these little Bible studies. And we have them where we have them in churches, and they use them as a sermon sometimes. There's wonderful little studies that'll help you to know the Lord. And this one, a never-failing friend. And wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of a friend? Well, he's waiting to come into your heart and into your life. And then we need to have your help. You have to help us. You need to pray and just say, Dear Jesus, should I support the Christian Worship Hour? Is it something worthy that I should do? And he'll tell you, yes, help them. Or he might say, no, give it to somebody else. But whatever you do, don't you hoard your money. You give it to God's work somewhere. Give it to us or give it to some other. There are others that are preaching the word. Just be sure they're preaching the scriptures, and then you support them. But if you can want to do that, you can write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And that's a wonderful thing. You can see, get all of our sermons. You can get Bible studies. Just great if you can get us in. But I know of those who live out in the jungles, you can't do that. You just have your little short wave. Well, then you try to get a Bible and talk to Jesus. And just talk to him as your friend. He's your father now. See, God is your father. Jesus is your big brother. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Just by that one prayer. And then you lean on Jesus. Well, so now we're going to pray. And when we pray, we always remember the persecuted church. We already prayed for them. And we're going to pray for the shut-ins and others who are having trouble. And the young people and the children. So we're just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you'll come into our heart by simply asking you in. And then we can serve you and follow you and find the joy of our salvation. Be with those who are on beds of sickness, Lord, and those who are shut in, those who have lost a loved one. And all the young people, dear Jesus, help them to look to you, their steady guide that will never leave them or forsake them. And the little children, I was 10 years old, and dear Jesus, help the little children to pray. And we'll give you thanks and praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time in closing so you don't forget us. We got to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Love to hear from you. Now, I know some of you in Africa and some of the jungles are now the wilderness. You can't write at all, but you can pray for us and trust Jesus. We'll see you in heaven. And oh, now before I go, I have to tell you this. God loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many sins you have. I don't know how miserably wicked you've been. God will forgive you. If you call on his name, confess your sins and turn from your sins and walk with Jesus. God loves you. He loves you so much he gave his son to die on a cross. I don't know anybody that do that for me except Jesus. And then all of the people in the Christian Worship Hour, now for over 40 years, we pray and we do it because we love you. Most of them are all volunteers and they love you and want you to come to Jesus. And then last of all, I love you. I gave my whole life, 98 years old, I gave it all to tell you about Jesus' love. So you love him back, and we'll see you when we get home. God bless you, everyone.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.